Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 15, and we will be starting with verse 36, and we will go till the end of the chapter. Acts 15, starting with verse 36, and we'll go to the end of the chapter. Let's pray. Lord, you have promised that your word will not return void. And so we ask that as we open up your word, as we study it, as we consider it, Lord, that your spirit would speak truth into our lives. And that when we leave this place, people would know that we have been in your presence. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Acts chapter 15, starting with verse 36. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now, Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to do the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. This is God's word. Today's brief passage is one of those where we wish we could have a few more details about exactly what transpired between Paul and Barnabas. In writing this account, Luke is setting up the story of the second missionary journey of Paul. And so it's necessary for him to explain why Barnabas did not participate, but rather a new figure by the name of Silas becomes Paul's traveling companion. In short, Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement of significant proportions. It was all over John Mark. Yes, the very individual who would later write the Gospel of Mark, who had abandoned them on the first journey, apparently in some moment of personal weakness. But today, we're going to look at when Paul and Barnabas separate. And so in verse 36, we see Paul suggests that he and Barnabas return to all the cities where they had planted churches in the first missionary trip. So we see in that verse that Paul says, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren." Paul is known for his evangelism. He preached in places where there was yet no Christian community. And so he understood the importance of strengthening and encouraging those who were already Christians. This was his motivation for his second missionary venture. So he had the heart of both one who wanted to bring people into the body of Christ, what today we would refer to as an evangelist, and he also had the heart of one who wanted to grow people in the body of Christ, what we would refer to as a teacher or a discipler. He says, "Let's see how they are doing." This shows the heart of Paul. He was not content to merely plant churches, but he wanted to see them carefully nurtured and growing in the faith. So that was his suggestion. Let's go visit the churches where we've already been. And yet, in verses 37 to 41, we see that Paul and Barnabas divide over the issue of taking John Mark with them. So, again, we are understanding from the passage that the controversy is related to the person of John, who is called Mark. John Mark had previously left the missionary group under what seemed to be less than honorable circumstances. This may be a passage that when we covered it several weeks ago, you may have just glossed over it and really not thought that it was going to be significant. But again, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And so every little detail counts. When we were in Acts 13, we read, "Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia." So just that one little phrase, John left them, returned to Jerusalem. We don't know exactly why, but it's clear from today's passage and Luke's explanation that Paul seemed very unwilling to trust him in future endeavors. And yet Barnabas, the encourager, was determined. And yet Paul insisted. Luke doesn't really give us insight as to who was right or wrong in this dispute. But it's never good when a personal dispute flares up among those serving in ministry. But we do know from this passage is that this disagreement became so sharp. That's a very important word here. It says in 39, "And there arose a sharp disagreement." Now, we've seen disagreements already in chapter 15. That was the whole purpose of the Council of Jerusalem, that there was this disagreement of a theological nature which caused the council together to come together, which caused them to seek God's face, which caused them to come together and determine exactly what needed to be taught. So there was previously a disagreement earlier in chapter 15, and that resulted in the letter that was sent, and that last week we looked at it and it was received with joy. But this is a different type of disagreement. This isn't over theological matters. This is a personal issue. Usually, when there is sharp disagreement, someone is wrong. And sometimes, as is often the case in the human condition, there may be a little bit of wrong on both sides. Obviously, there could be no way that both Paul and Barnabas were each walking in the Spirit on this issue. Because remember, it was only a few chapters ago in Acts chapter 13 where Paul and Barnabas were set apart by the brethren. They were prayed over. It was made clear by the Holy Spirit that these were the ones that were to go out and were to serve and were to spread the good news. So how do we reconcile a few chapters ago they were set apart to do the work, and then in today's passage there is such a sharp disagreement that they decide that they're going to split ways? Again, today's sharp disagreement is not a theological one. When there was the disagreement at the beginning of this chapter, that was over a theological issue. This is not. This seems almost less important and more personal. And we see from the passage that Barnabas takes John Mark and they go to Cyprus. Where is the motivation for Barnabas to side with someone who previously had abandoned them in the middle of the first journey? Well, I think we may have a little bit of insight into where that loyalty comes from in Colossians chapter 4. And so this is Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. In Colossians chapter 4, as Paul is sending final greetings, he says, "Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him." Paul explains in his letter to the church that John Mark is Barnabas' cousin. That may be some of the motivation for why Barnabas was willing to extend a little bit more grace, a little bit more understanding, a little bit more recognition of, okay, I understand he left when there was work to be done the last time, but I think he's up for it this time. We know that Barnabas was known as the son of encouragement. He's one of those ones who always sees a glass half full, or maybe a glass overflowing. And so he is willing to extend some grace and some understanding to his cousin, John Mark. And again, we know that John Mark goes on to participate fully in his work with Barnabas. And we also know that he goes on to write one of the four Gospels. So it's not that John Mark washes out, but there was this point along his ministry pathway where he'd left during the first journey, and Paul therefore was unwilling to take him on the second one. So they parted from one another. Paul is accompanied by Silas, and Barnabas is accompanied by John Mark. And they split, and they each go out to do different ministry. It's hard to know how long the relationship between Paul and Barnabas remained strained. As Christians, we're commanded to resolve relationship problems with others. It's also wrong to step over people in the name of ministry. And when that happens, it must be made right. There's no doubt that God used this division, but we should be very careful not to use that history as a justification for division within the body today. God can redeem good out of evil, but we are held accountable for the evil that we do, even if God ends up bringing good out of the evil. So either Paul or Barnabas, probably both, had to get this right with God and with each other. John Stott says, "This example of God's providence may not be used as an excuse for Christian quarreling." Later on, we know that Paul came to minister with John Mark and valued his contributions to the work of God. We saw that in Colossians chapter 4. We again see references to John Mark in Philemon, in 2 Timothy. So we don't know over those years whether it was Mark who changed or whether it was Paul who changed. Probably God did a work in both of them. And yet, we're then introduced to another ministry partner for Paul. Paul chooses Silas. Silas, who is known in some passages as Silvanus, becomes an important part of Paul's team. He was recognized as one of the leading men among the brethren. We saw that in Acts chapter 15 in the passage that the pastor spoke on a few weeks ago, where they selected a few individuals to go with the letter to commend from the council at Jerusalem. He was indicated as being one of the leading men among the brethren. We know that Silas was a prophet, also from chapter 15, verse 32. In a couple of weeks, we'll see in chapter 16 that Silas was a Roman citizen, which is going to make him have the ability to speak to some audiences because of his Roman citizenship. Silas probably spoke Greek, and Silas wrote out one of Peter's letters and may have also been the scribe for one or more of Paul's letters. All of this was used in God's providence to continue to grow the church from that inner core to that next circle out. And again, we are now on that third band. And this is all being used by God to send the right people to the right audiences so that they can hear and receive the good news of the gospel. And the purpose, we see the motivation for Paul wanting to go and visit the places where he had already been, was to strengthen the churches. This was Paul's work. In addition to evangelism, he knew that new Christians needed strong churches to grow and to mature in. It's hard as we look at this passage, because throughout the New Testament, we are continually receiving messages about the importance of the unity of the Holy Spirit, the importance of the unity of the body. In this morning's scripture reading, we read about there is one body, there is one Lord in Jesus Christ. We are called to unity. So how do we reconcile these teachings of unity with today's passage where Paul and Barnabas, two significant early teachers, early evangelists, split? These two individuals have been through a lot together. They've almost died. They've been on the front lines. They have put their lives on the line to share the gospel. And yet, they're still splitting up. I appreciate that Luke, in today's passage, doesn't sugarcoat the story. There's no omission. As members of the church, we always strive for unity. When we find ourselves disagreeing, we should be humble, repentant, and ready to listen. Yet, at some point, we may need to go a different way. This should come after seeking God's will in prayer and counsel from the saints. However, if after earnestly seeking the Lord, we choose to walk apart, we must trust that God is sovereign and be sure that we are following him as we perceive his leading. Again, please note that what they split up on was not a doctrinal issue. It was just a matter of opinion about how they should visit the congregation and who should and shouldn't go. The sharp disagreement wasn't on a theological issue. It was on a personal issue. I'll find it. I promise you I will. The fact is, all of the individuals in today's passage, Paul, Barnabas, John Mark, Silas. They all go on to serve the Lord well, with distinction. Again, we see Paul sending greetings to John Mark. And we know that Paul continued to have high esteem for Barnabas. It's the important thing for us to remember as that in his vineyard, where he has called us to work, for us to sow and to reap, we need to value one another, even if we are not always working side by side. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you have called us to be one as you are one. Lord, as the world looks at us, when they see division, they see justification for not believing the good news. So we'd ask that you would help us to examine our own hearts, that you would help us to identify those areas where there is disunity, that you would help us to recognize those who are working for your kingdom, and Lord, that you would help us to celebrate those who are advancing your gospel. Lord, we know that you have promised that others would know that we are believers by the way we love one another. So we'd ask that our love would be sincere and that we would not be divided. Help us, Lord, to seek unity. Help us to serve lovingly alongside others. We ask all of these things. In Christ's name, amen.